How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. What is today? Well, it is the one-week countdown to WrestleMania. That's right, on the program today, we're going to do a full rundown of the card. We've got pretty much the entire card. It's possible that on Raw tomorrow, they'll switch some things up, change some matches, add some people here, add some people there, maybe a stipulation or two. But in general, we know the entire card for this year's WrestleMania, and so we're going to talk about it here on the program. We'll give you all the predictions for all of the matches on the show, give you a quick preview, and of course, we've got a ton of news to get into as well. Next week, I will be live in New Orleans. We will be doing the show from New Orleans immediately. In fact, I believe we'll be head-to-head with the pre-show here on Sports Byline USA. But next week, it will be a show from New Orleans, so you can get ready for that. I'll be down there for all of the different festivities. I believe I'm going to the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, a Ring of Honor show on Friday night, Did I say the WWE Hall of Fame? Anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on down there, and there's 8 million things to do. I believe that is what I'm going to be doing, in addition to some other things with a bunch of people here from the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 Online Empire. So it should be a fun time. We'll have a lot of stuff to talk about with Mike Sempervivi next week. But today, we have the WrestleMania preview. We're going to be talking of all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, Raw, SmackDown, Impact, some thoughts on Total Divas, which of course airs tonight on E! And as noted, the preview for the WrestleMania pay-per-view next week. Tomorrow is the Go Home Raw. We'll talk about that as well. Usually just a lot of video packages, that sort of thing. But we'll talk about some news there as well. So tons of stuff to get into today, everybody. So stick around. When we come back from the break, we shall kick it all off with our WrestleMania 30 preview. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line, as always. Mike, how you doing today?
Not too bad, Brian.
Are you ready for WrestleMania?
I am.
Have you watched any Total Divas?
You know what? Tonight is going to be my first night because as I sent you a text last week, I did not realize this through my Comcast Go app or whatever it's called that they have for their little gimmick setup. I can actually watch USA. Now, I can't watch USA while Raw's on, say, on their little app thing because it's, you know, blocked out programming. And I thought Total Divas was as well. Apparently, I was wrong. So now I get to enjoy Total Divas every week from a small screen on my iPhone, making it even better.
There you go. There you go. You know, you could just airplay that to your television, watch it on the big screen.
No, it's good. Little one's all right.
Oh, you'll be changing your mind after tonight.
Really? Why?
Man, it's all those divas.
Thought you were going to say Layla was going to be on.
She may be. I don't know.
Actually, Layla and Cameron and Naomi, that would be great.
She won't be on. But the Funkadactyls will be all over the show.
That's good.
Actually, you know what? Before we get into WrestleMania, since you mentioned it, let's see what the preview is for tonight's show. Because that's what we do here on this program.
Hey, saw Eva Marie got booed on Raw Monday night when she was announced out there with Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, shocking. All right, what is today? Today is March 30th. On Bree's Bad Side is the name of the episode. Bree feels that Summer Rae is crossing a line by flirting with Daniel Bryan.
Ooh.
And Natty's problems continue to grow. I don't know what problems they're talking about, but they continue to grow.
And then as an observer, I'm surprised that you don't know about some of this stuff. It's almost as if they're just pulling this kind of stuff out of thin air.
How about this one? This is actually, wait a second. Apparently there is no show next week. They don't want to go head-to-head with WrestleMania, apparently.
No.
So the next episode is not until April 13th.
They did last year, though, didn't they?
I think they did. Or I think it was SummerSlam. I don't think Total Divas was around for WrestleMania last year. I could be wrong.
No, it came after that, remember, because they had the backstage footage, which of the first show on Total Divas last year was actually really awesome for anyone who had never seen Matt before. I remember hearing a lot about people who just didn't realize how big, you know, you know what WWE is huge, but you don't realize the size of the operation. And there was some, you know, some people were actually impressed by that in the first show last year. Then they stopped watching.
So the April 13th episode, Natty is told that she has to undergo correctional surgery. What would that be?
Eye surgery, or
this is Natty, so I don't know.
She forgot how to walk.
Nikki feels that John is lying, and in the big main event, Trinity shoots a music video.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it say what kind of video?
Doesn't say. Except music.
Does she sing, or is she like a background dancer?
I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you. I'm watching it for the first time, just glued to the set. And finally, for better or worse, Nikki and Arion help Natty get back into dating. What does that mean? Her and Tyson have a breakup?
Maybe like just need some space. I'll be damned.
And then Eva has health problems. And Trinity discusses getting married. Wow. So there you go. That is the next 3 weeks of Total Divas, everybody. You can all look forward to that. You know, I remember that first episode of Total Divas when they showed all of the previews for the show. I thought, my God, this show looks like absolutely horrible. Who could ever possibly watch this show? And somebody in the company said to me, you know what? This show is going to be a hit because fans are going to be really interested in seeing all of the backstage footage and how everything works. And years ago, I actually went backstage to a WWE, a series of tapings, actually, like 3 straight days. So I'd seen all of it in action. And we've seen a fair number of television shows that have done, you know, quick looks backstage and that sort of thing. And it's not like they expose too much backstage on Total Divas, but he was right. You know, a lot of fans. I mean, obviously there was the reality show aspect of it and the hot girls aspect of it, but
I think that might be more the case now.
I'm sure it is now, but there were a lot of people who thought it was really cool to see all that backstage footage from WWE.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like you said, that first one, when you realize the enormity, you know, it's like the Super Bowl or anything else. You can go to a football game and that's one thing, but then you go to like the Super Bowl and there's this just mass and enormity of it. And same thing with WWE. And I think people, they really did see that for the first time last year in some of the stuff. And obviously, even though it was gimmicked up, some faces that they don't know, like the head of talent relations, Gene Geddes, and all that sort of stuff, and the people that were on. Now, I think that's, obviously now into train wreck television reality mode and things like that. And I think that's obviously why anybody's watching right now. That's the reason they're watching.
Well, let's talk about WrestleMania. It is coming up next week from New Orleans, Louisiana. It's taking place at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the legendary Superdome. We've got Celebrate by Kid Rock being one of the themes, Legacy by Eminem being one of the things. And obviously they've got some music videos that they've created using Eminem's song to hype up the John Cena-Bray Wyatt match, which I think have been awesome. I was just ranting a couple of weeks ago about how you could never have a bad music video in professional wrestling, and I was asking why they didn't do more. And lo and behold, and granted, it's not because of me, because it takes a while to put these together, but the very next day, music videos all over the place for WrestleMania. I think it's really added to the, really makes the event seem like something big's coming when they do all of those music videos. So let's start with that match since we're on the subject. This is not the main event. It is very doubtful it is going on last. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I have not checked the odds in a week, but as of last week, Bray Wyatt was the favorite in this match. And what do you think about this scenario here?
Oh, I thought you were going to give me a scenario.
Well, the scenario that they're having a match and that Bray Wyatt might win.
I'm still going with that. I know maybe I shouldn't, but I just think because of Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, because of the whole Daniel Bryan situation with his two matches that I'll be having on there, and the fact that I think you're going to end with Daniel Bryan going yes, and that's kind of what people are there for, you can get away if you do this. And I time-wise, I don't know if you do it at 9:30 Eastern time. I don't. I would actually say let's go about halfway into the show. That way, if there's any kids that are upset over the fact that John Cena lost, and no matter how it happens, as long as it's a clear victory for Bray Wyatt, you can have interference from Luke Harper and Rowan. I don't think that's, you know, clean as a sheet type of John Cena puts him over. Sure, I guess in a perfect world it would be that way, but it doesn't, kind of the way that the Wyatt character is and everything else. You don't necessarily need to do that. As long as the match is good and as long as he gets a clear victory and he's elevated out of it, it doesn't really matter how he gets the win. But put it on about 9:30, Cena loses. Sure, there's going to be some people upset, but I think as the night rolls on, you'll probably have The Undertaker winning. I would assume you're going to have Daniel Bryan winning. You're going to have some cheesecake fluff. I'm sure that will probably break up the two big matches going into the main event. I'm not saying people are going to forget about it or anything like that, and it still should be played up as a big deal the next night for Bray Wyatt. But that's how I would do it, and I think that's what would make the most sense to do. Now, could Cena win? Yeah, I could absolutely see that. Somebody making a decision at the last minute, but I think everyone there knows Bray Wyatt, not to say John Cena's not important, but I think Bray Wyatt's positioning coming out of WrestleMania is actually more important than John Cena right now. He'll be fine.
Well, as of today, Bray Wyatt, at least on one book here, is even a more heavy favorite. Minus 500 to John Cena's plus 350. On every book available, he is a favorite. Minus 300 here, minus 275 here. I got a lot to say about this match, particularly after watching Raw and the Bray Wyatt-John Cena video about 7,000 times since they debuted it. I got a lot to say about this, so we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And, of course, we will continue our WrestleMania preview here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here doing our WrestleMania preview. Next week's show from the Superdome, we're starting with the Bray Wyatt-John Cena match. And Mike, I was watching this. This video is so awesome. I've seen it. I've watched it like 20 times, and it's a very simple story that they're telling. And they've told it in the interviews. They're telling it in the video. And the story is that John Cena, as Bray Wyatt has called him, is that thoroughbred horse that is starting to slow down. And they've got a lot of clips in the video of John Cena celebrating, and then his hands go to his knees. He's exhausted. John Cena is getting older. He's starting to fall apart. That is the story of this match. And Bray Wyatt is the young guy coming up that is evil, and he is diabolical, and he's going to destroy John Cena. And in the happy land of WWE, usually when you have a story like this, the old thoroughbred, he's got it in him one more time, and he goes and he wins the race. But in this particular case, I don't think that John Cena should go win the race. This is not the main event of WrestleMania. The main event of WrestleMania is almost certainly going to be the championship match, or it is going to be the Undertaker match. The idea that John Cena and Bray Wyatt goes on last, to me, ain't going to happen. So I think that Bray Wyatt should go in there and destroy John Cena. And I think that John Cena should disappear. Now, this is like, I mean, as I say this, it sounds so preposterous coming out of my mouth. Because John Cena, think of all the injuries this guy has suffered in his career. And he's always trying to get back as quickly as humanly possible. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons the thoroughbred is slowing down, because he's trying to come back from these injuries so quickly. He has not been the same since he came back from that tricep injury way before anybody expected that he was going to come back. So I think that he should disappear. I think we shouldn't even hear from John Cena until like maybe July. And then I think that John Cena should start his road to his comeback. And you have the big rematch at SummerSlam with John Cena and Bray Wyatt. And John Cena can come back new and refreshed and get his big win back. But now is the time, especially with the pay-per-views moving to the network, now is a time where you don't need to sell a pay-per-view every month. You've got the network. Most everybody who is a regular pay-per-view buyer is subscribed to the network, and you're not going to be selling a whole lot of pay-per-views. Now is a time to let John Cena go home for a little while and heal. You've got Daniel Bryan. You've got a giant, look at this WrestleMania lineup. You got plenty of guys here that you could do plenty of stuff with while John Cena's gone. You've got Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan. You've got Brock here and there. You got The Shield, Roman Reigns, all of these guys. Antonio Cesaro. There's a million guys that can provide, everybody in the Battle Royal, millions of guys can provide programming. The company's not going to die because John Cena isn't there until SummerSlam. That's where I think this should go.
That would actually be great if they actually were to do something like that. And you could. And they should. I mean, he should for his own body. He should as well for his character. And I'm not even saying he's got to go that long. I mean, you know, but going out for a significant period of time, you know, you got kids out of school in the summer anyway, so there's always, you know, things that change a little bit. But with the network, you know, those people, you can get all the John Cena you want if you miss him or if your kid misses him. There's still the toys. You know, he'll still be in the magazines that they put out there. You know, the charity work can continue on. That doesn't really have any effect over anything. And, you know, again, you could pop up like a Muppet with pre-taped things all over the place if they chose to on Superstars or Main Event or WWE This Week or whatever it's going to be. And I think that's a great idea. And I think that's also even more so, it makes Bray Wyatt look even mightier if they were to do something like that, where the first guy to destroy John Cena and to really put him out and say, you know, where Cena can't actually reach back up and play Superman is this ultimate evil in Bray Wyatt, which is a character. And, you know, it's a heel that they need. They really do. And that would actually be great. Will they pull the trigger on something like that? I don't know, because, again, like you said, it's a feel good show and everything. But same thing, like I was saying, if you're going to do something like that, that this year would easily be the year to do it. Easily be the year to do it. And also, for Daniel Bryan, this is now your deal in that case after WrestleMania, where, you know, there's been all this stuff about stop starts and, you know, this, that, and the other. We can see if Daniel Bryan can truly carry that company if John Cena's out of the way, and that will speak volumes as well, too.
All right, the main event of the show, the real main event of the show, is Randy Orton, Batista, and a third man who will be either Daniel Bryan or Triple H. Daniel Bryan and Triple H having a singles match, and the winner of that is going into the three-way for the WWE title. Now, if we look up and down this card, for the most part, at least in the main matches, this show is exactly as they envisioned it back in January. The two big changes are that in January, it was originally going to be Randy Orton and Dave Batista in a singles match for the title. Triple H was going to be facing CM Punk before Punk walked out. And Daniel Bryan was going to be facing, of all people, Sheamus. So,
that's Punk, three changes.
Sure, I guess. Not really. Is it?
No.
I don't know. Punk bails. And so Daniel Bryan gets his spot. So Sheamus gets moved to the Battle Royal. Randy Orton and Batista as a singles match was just like a epic, obvious failure. It just was not going to work. And so they made the decision after basically having their hand forced by the fans to put Daniel Bryan in that match. But then, just to add a little bit of interest to the show, I guess, they announced that if Triple H beats Daniel Bryan in their singles match, Triple H is going to go into the main event. Now, I know that a lot of people on Twitter over the last couple of months have insisted that they think that Triple H is going to beat Daniel Bryan, or that Triple H is going to put the title on himself and leave WrestleMania. And I'm hoping that the tide has shifted among these fans and they are now looking at things rationally.
Oh, are those the ones that Triple H was talking about on Monday?
I believe so. Listen, this is WrestleMania 30, and the idea that Triple H is going to walk out of WrestleMania 30 as the champion, it's not going to happen. I mean, it could happen if they completely lost their minds. Like, they're going to have Triple H beat Daniel Bryan, Triple H goes into the three-way, he wins the title, and then on the post-Mania Raw, Daniel Bryan beats Hunter and wins the championship from him. I guess you could do that if you wanted to. Why? Why, other than screwing over all of the fans that came from all over the world to see Daniel Bryan win the title at WrestleMania? They can do whatever they want. I don't think they're going to do that. I think that it's 99%, 99.9% certain that Daniel Bryan is beating Triple H, and he's probably going to the main event and winning the title. Now, the odds makers have Daniel Bryan as the favorite in the championship match. He's actually a gigantic favorite in the Hunter match. He's minus 4,000. And in the WWE title match, he is at minus 1,400. So everybody is expecting that that Daniel Bryan is going to walk out of WrestleMania as the champion. So, and I've been predicting that now for ever since they added him to the match. The only thing I will say is that they have been sticklers for all of their plans of late, and absolutely for sure, the idea in January was that Batista was walking out of WrestleMania as the WWE champion. So I believe that if Daniel Bryan does win the title at WrestleMania, then the man that he loses the title to is probably going to be Batista. I don't know when it will be, but that is my prediction. And I do expect him to pin Randy Orton, so Batista will have the argument that he never got beaten in this match.
I hope it's Daniel Bryan. It should be Daniel Bryan. Around Royal Rumble time, it didn't hurt my feelings, the idea of Batista and Orton have the match at Mania, and then at Extreme Rules or whenever it was that Bryan beats him. You'd have to turn Dave Batista heel. Well, all that kind of got accelerated with everyone's reaction to the Royal Rumble, to the point where you can't really do anything else. You could do, like you were talking about last week, Triple H screws him or something, or Vince McMahon could come out and save Daniel Bryan. There's lots of things you could do, but the only one that makes sense to do is Daniel Bryan walking out of there with the belt, and he gets a big reaction on Monday, the Monday following. And then you have, what, a month or whatever it is until the next pay-per-view. You see how it goes. You see how the reaction is. And then you have Batista or Randy Orton or however this is going to work, whether it's Orton complaining that he wasn't pinned or if it's Batista saying he wasn't pinned and, damn it, that belt should be mine. I want a rematch. And he gets Daniel Bryan. Either way, you have an option if things aren't going well the first month. I just think it'll be fine. And again, why would you do anything other than Daniel Bryan? What could you possibly have in the tank for Monday night that would make people, again, you're supposed to be sending people home happy or at least completely satisfied. They won't be doing that if it's anyone other than Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I really believe that. Obviously, the way the crowd has reacted now, all those people from around the world, the hardest of the hardcores that created this whole Yes Movement thing in the first place way back when, you have to give it to them.
I got some things to say about Vince since you mentioned his name, but we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We've got a lot of other matches to talk about. 8 matches on the WrestleMania card. We're going to get into the rest of the card and talk about Vince McMahon when we come back from the break. And so until then, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and we are here talking WrestleMania. And for the next week, not only are we going to talk about WrestleMania, we're going to talk about all of WrestleMania week. And the place to go for all of this is WrestlingObserver.com. If you're a fan of professional wrestling and you love this program, Wrestling Observer Live, and you only get to hear once per week, you are missing out. WrestlingObserver.com, daily news updates. In fact, we update throughout the day with all of the biggest stories in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts and radio shows. So many radio shows, you won't even know what to do with them. We do usually about two brand new shows every single day. And on top of that, as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, for as little as $9.99 per month, you get our entire library completely on demand. That means every single show that we have ever produced dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. Now, at two shows a day from 2005 until today, you're talking over 5,000 radio shows available in the archives. And we're talking coverage of every pay-per-view, every Raw, SmackDown. We have covered everything. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Everybody all the way up to Stone Cold Steve Austin. We just had Jim Ross on the other day. Daniel Bryan has been on the show. List goes on and on. All of these are available in our archives. And again, it's just $9.99 a month if you sign up for a year. Month to month, it's $10.99, but still a great value. And if you've got the WWE Network, often during the live shows, we review stuff that's on the network so you can watch the show and then listen to our review. It's a lot of fun. So head up there and check it out. We've got a lot of stuff at WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll over to the right-hand side of the page, we have F4W Live Audio. It streams 24/7. Our most recent free show is up there on F4W Live Radio. And underneath that big microphone there, the latest three free shows available for you to download. We'll give you a sample of that's three of the 5,000 that we have in our archive. So WrestleMania is the best time to sign up. We have a lot of coverage coming from New Orleans. We're going to have a lot of live coverage as well. So make sure you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com and never miss a moment of pro wrestling audio. Now, before the break, Mike mentioned Vince McMahon and the idea of Vince McMahon possibly coming out and helping Daniel Bryan. I think the idea that Daniel Bryan gets any help at WrestleMania, I wouldn't do that. I would have Daniel Bryan go into the match with Triple H, selling his shoulder, his injured shoulder, managing to win the match, but perhaps, you know, Hunter lays him out with a sledgehammer afterwards. They pretend like maybe he won't come out for the main event. Of course, he does come out for the main event. He fights valiantly against two heels, and he comes out of it with the championship. Everybody chants yes, 70,000 people all chanting at the same time. Everybody is happy, and that's the end of WrestleMania. But then, the next night on Raw, that is the night where Triple H decides, I am going to screw this fella. I am going to make sure that Raw does not end with Daniel Bryan as champion. I'm going to stack the deck in every conceivable way. He makes all of these diabolical plans, and that is when Vince McMahon makes his big return. He evens the odds. Daniel Bryan wins a big main event and then endorses Daniel Bryan as the show goes off the air. I think that is the best usage of Vince McMahon. Vince is going to be back probably at any time. I expect them to wait until the day after WrestleMania. I know some people think I'm nuts saying this because he's been scheduled back since it was like September or October. But the reason he was scheduled back at that time was because at the time, the storyline for WrestleMania was going to be Vince's guy versus Triple H's guy for control of the company. Well, if you've looked at the lineup for WrestleMania, that's not the storyline. So there was no reason for Vince to come back for a storyline that they've changed their mind on months ago. But he is on his way back, and I think that probably the post-WrestleMania Raw is where you'll see him again.
I think that's a great, that's to me is a great scenario. Even just stripping Daniel Bryan of the belt at the beginning of the show, just like they have But it was twice at least that they did that. I thought it was where they stripped him of the title or took the title away from him. Do the same thing. Another rewind. The entire crowd, you know, deflates and boos and heckles and all that sort of stuff. And then having Vince come out. Yeah. I mean, that's however you want to do Monday is how you want to do Monday. But the most important thing is still Sunday. And sometimes doing the obvious thing that you're supposed to do is the thing to do. So hopefully they do that thing. And Daniel Bryan has 70,000 people chanting yes.
I just would be baffled if he did not have 70,000 people chanting yes. But suppose anything is possible. Like I said, there's always the next night on Raw to fix anything you screwed up at WrestleMania if they decide to like put the belt on Hunter, which I'm telling you, no chance. I just don't think there's any chance of this happening. Undertaker and Brock Lesnar in a singles match. What did you think of the angle on Raw Monday, Mike? What do you think of this Undertaker Brock Lesnar build?
It's obviously it would have been better a few years ago where Brock lost in the UFC. I forget when that even was. But that obviously now it's more. It does feel very put on, and I can understand how people aren't into this because, you know, I'm still into it, but this is truly the showbiz one. And, it's like we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we'll have the, you know, when Undertaker came out and stabbed him in the hand down, you know, right down to the Druids and him coming out of the casket. It's the very sports entertainment showy thing. And I think there's a lot of people that wanted it to be more grudge-like and, you know, Brock needs a chance to win. I don't necessarily think you need that. You could, you know, with a John Cena or somebody down the line that would go undefeated or Roman Reigns. I mean, yeah, it helps as part of the story. It really does. But even if you don't give people the feeling that Undertaker could lose, that's not what they're watching him for in WrestleMania. You know, they're watching him for the ring entrance and the cool ending and the 22-0 now coming up on the screen and all that stuff. And I think even though that this has not been the best build in the world, Brock Lesnar's bumped like a maniac and just, you know, has almost killed himself a few times since he's been back. The Undertaker's the Undertaker and we're going to see him and then he's going to go away again. So I'm actually fine, even though it's not the most intense build to a one-on-one mano-a-mano competition. I just don't think it matters.
I still think this match is going to be awesome.
How could it not? It's The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, and Paul Heyman.
Yeah?
And a crowd that, again, this is why I think Undertaker and Steve Austin, even though people think I'm nuts, you know, if you do that 2 years from now in Dallas, and granted, those two guys are going to be old and their bodies won't be in any better shape than they are right now, but they could stand there for 10 minutes and just stand there looking at each other and people would lose their minds. And I think that's what The Undertaker has. And again, Brock has got that to a point, but certainly Paul Heyman being there, these guys could almost do the same thing this year. Almost.
Almost. Now,
you're gonna have to have a match.
What are your Todd's odds? I don't like to see anybody get hurt, obviously. But what are your Todd's odds that Undertaker gets out of this match unscathed?
10%. And I'm not saying it's for anything that Brock could do to him or you know, being stiff or anything like that.
He could wrestle Eve Torres and come out of it with some sort of injury, is what you're saying.
and that's just the thing now. I wouldn't, unless you have something planned for a little bit after that with like the Wyatt family doing something to the Undertaker, because there's always somebody that takes him out every year, whether it be the Nexus, whether it be the Shield. You know, you could do something with the Wyatts doing that, and that would again just add to their aura even more. You could do something with them, but outside of that, it's realistic that he just has the match and then we see highlights the next day on Raw or still shots of it. And then we never hear the Undertaker's name again till next Royal Rumble. I can completely see that happening.
All right. Now, what are your Todd's odds on the Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania next year?
As a guy that grew up watching Sting from Mid-South on, great. You know, I still think he could do it. I think he's the type of guy, again, whether will it mean as much to a WWE crowd in San Francisco? I don't know. In fact, I don't think it will at all. So I think you'll need some other stuff on there. But to do icon versus icon, and again, the match doesn't have to be in doubt or anything like that. But I think Sting could be in good enough shape, and I think would be safe enough for The Undertaker. And again, as long as The Undertaker can go, I think that would actually be great. I really, really do. You know, could it be Roman Reigns? Yeah, I guess it could be too. And you look at the who else could it really be? You know, they've destroyed Wade Barrett. They've, you know, ruined a lot of guys. So I think logically, when you just look at the surface on who's out there and who's left for The Undertaker to face, I think that would be a great one.
All right. I'm watching a replay, by the way, of WrestleMania 28 on the network.
They're debuting 29 after our show tonight.
That's right. This is the it's the Raw versus SmackDown match. Eve Torres just turned on the woo-woo guy. I do very much miss Eve Torres.
Yes, that's true.
And they did do a spot where Hornswoggle tried to dive onto Mark Henry, and Mark Henry caught him. Let's think about this match. So Hornswoggle's idea was, I'm going to do a dive onto Mark Henry. If this were real, that's a poor plan. Poor planning on the part of Hornswoggle.
Hey, you were all hyping him up. You should be, you know, he's a man. You know, he's not half a man, he's a man.
He is a man. Well, that has nothing to do with diving on a Mark. I wouldn't dive on a Mark Henry. Although, to be honest, I'm sure Hornswoggle probably outweighs me. In fact, I'd say it's a certainty.
Hey, look, with the injury rate of Mark Henry, you think he could, like, cannonball on top of him, hit his shoulder, and blow it out or something?
You know, I'm not sure if it was, Hornswoggle, but I talked to a guy that had done a match for WWE. He was an enhancement talent, as they call it, formerly known as a jobber. And anyway, he was wrestling a guy who had a mini counterpart, I guess is the best way to put it. And he said, that little guy nearly killed me. Because, you know, he's a little fella, and so, you know, you can't complain that the little guy is hitting you too hard or landing on you too hard. And boy, did this little guy take advantage of it. He said, man, this little guy nearly killed me. So just so you know, everybody, if you ever work as enhancement talent, stay away from the minis. They're deadly.
Have you ever been stiffed by a midget, Brian?
I've never been in the ring. Let me think if I've ever been in the ring with one. No, I may have been in a battle royal here or there, but no, I've never been stiffed by a little person.
Your opponents have.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. What are you talking about here, Mike?
Nothing.
Don't punch the mic while you're at it, by the way. Vinny, that's a Vinny trademark. Vinny's on tonight, by the way, everybody. Vinny and I will be up later on tonight.
But what about Craig?
Exclusively. It's Tuesday, dude.
Oh, sorry.
You need to get on the schedule. Wrestling Observer Live is right now. And then later on tonight, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, is the Brian and Vinny show. Vinny and I are going to be talking Ring of Honor, NXT, and Total Divas. So get ready for that later on tonight. It'll be midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, live through F4WLive.com. Linked up at the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So check that out tonight. The replay will be available afterwards if you're a subscriber and you don't like to stay up till 3 a.m. And who does? Anyway, we're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. We got a lot of previewing to do for WrestleMania. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking WrestleMania. It is 1 week away. WrestleMania, and we've obviously we got a lot of matches to get into so far in a full hour. All we've talked about is Randy Orton versus Batista versus to be determined, Daniel Bryan, Triple H, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena and Bray Wyatt. That means when we come back from the break, four other matches to get into, including the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, the Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational with 14 Divas. In a match for the title, Got a Shield match, got a tag team title match. We got a lot of stuff to talk about after the break. And we've got a lot of news as well, including Mike is going to tell us a little bit about Prince Devitt, including whether or not Prince Devitt is coming to WWE. He's got a Loser Leaves Town match coming up for New Japan. And Mike, actually, since we've got about a minute here, Loser Leaves Town match with Prince Devitt, that to me sounds like WWE bound.
It does, doesn't it?
And sure does.
And with the way, look, Carl Anderson's been great for that promotion now for a while, been one of the most underrated things in all of pro wrestling, because there's a lot of people who really haven't seen him. But in my opinion, he can ascend to take the reins of the Bullet Club, and it's probably time for Prince Devitt, if he was ever going to try his hand in WWE, now would be a great, great time with looking who's on the roster, and you look at the position that Tyler Black's in, and that the Dean Ambrose is in, and Pac being in, and Adrian Neville being down there in NXT. Again, there's lots of guys, and this would be, he would fit, again, if he's going to fit in great at any time, now would really be the time, and he will definitely be an asset to WWE, and if not even WWE, he's going to be great for the NXT viewer.
All right, back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Ryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, we're doing a WrestleMania preview here today, talking all of the matches on the show. We got four more matches to preview here, but before the hourly break, we were talking about Prince Devitt potentially coming to WWE. He has a Loser Leaves Town match for New Japan coming up. And my big issue with this, Mike, is that I do want to see Prince Devitt come to WWE, but I'm sad that he's coming to WWE without the Bullet Club, and specifically, he's coming without Bad Luck Fale.
You know, the tag team division, with the way that it's in, could use Doc Gallows, who people will remember. Well, they'll remember as Doc, I guess some people will, in TNA. But he was also Festus and part of CM Punk's group as Luke Gallows, I believe it was. He's been teaming up with Carl Anderson over in Japan and has been great. And they've used Terrible from CMLL, who has fit in perfectly with the team. They've got Tama Tonga, who is Haku's kid that he is a mix, sort of. He's just at a weird point because he's still very young in his career. He doesn't know exactly who he is yet. He's kind of a mix between, like, Jimmy Snuka and Ric Flair and, like, a couple of other people. But he is wacky, he is charismatic, and he is fun to watch, even though he's pretty green right now. But that whole group, along with your boy, Bad Luck Fale, it would be awesome to see them all over in WWE. Again, especially that team of Doc and Carl Anderson in a division that could certainly use it. It would be great. And I'm really surprised, not surprised at all, that they're looking at Prince Devitt, because he absolutely deserves the opportunity. But I am surprised that they've never really looked at Carl Anderson.
Actually, hold that thought. We'll talk about Anderson when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, I rudely cut off Mike talking about Carl Anderson. So, Mike, continue on.
I got all excited there. Forgot it was a 2.5-minute segment. But I was just going to say, add on to that, if anybody, you know, has got the opportunity, and we'll see what happens with this now, with Ustream and Ring of Honor. If for anyone who has not heard, the New Japan Ring of Honor shows will be taking place via Ustream. Now, this is not from what I know, this is not like New Japan is going to broadcast this and sending it back to Japan and with their equipment and technology and all that sort of stuff. This is going to be a Ustream production in conjunction with Ring of Honor. So hopefully, unlike so many of their past attempts, this one actually works. But if you're willing to throw down the money for that to see the Border Wars show, I think it is, and then the other one in Manhattan that's going to feature the New Japan guys, wait till you see Carl Anderson if you haven't seen him before, because he's great. And working with those guys in Ring of Honor, after working with the Tanahashis and Nakamuras and Okadas and everybody else he's been working with in Japan, he's just gotten better and better. And I don't know if this will be a breakout thing for him when he's over here, but I can see a lot of people getting behind the push and people seeing him where they go, I want to see this guy in WWE, or why isn't this guy in WWE? I can legit see that happening after this, which, you know, 10 years ago, kind of, you know, again, a lot younger, obviously. Who would ever thought you could say that? But it's just he's had such a great run in New Japan where it's going to hurt to lose Prince Devitt. But as far as his place with the Bullet Club, I think they're going to be just fine.
We are doing a WrestleMania preview here, and so far we've done the first four matches on the show. Our predictions for the record are Bray Wyatt over John Cena, Undertaker over Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan beating Triple H, and Daniel Bryan also winning the three-way in the championship, which, by the way, the odds makers are saying as well. I am still a little bit skeptical of the John Cena-Bray Wyatt finish.
You're not the only one, too, Brian. I just looked at the poll on the website as of a little while ago. 52.6% of people who went into the poll thought John Cena will win the match over Bray Wyatt.
It's because the WWE has been sticking to plans a lot of late. But WrestleMania is a day where Vince McMahon will sometimes come to the building. He'll realize what day it is. It's WrestleMania. It's Happy Ending Day. And he'll make a big change. And it would not surprise me in the slightest if he decided, you know what, let's have John Cena win tonight, and we'll have Bray Wyatt take him out on Raw. That would not surprise me one bit. So we'll see what happens. But I think at the end of the day, Bray Wyatt's got to do a number on John Cena. Or, you know what, all of this talk of putting John Cena out of action or taking a hiatus, hey, Bray Wyatt might beat him via interference or disqualification or something wacky at WrestleMania, and then John Cena just goes in and pins him clean in the middle with the AA on Raw. Do not think there is no chance of that happening. Maybe a great chance of that happening, for all I know. So, man, that would be bad. But hey, it can be done. Maybe done. We've got the...
Will there be a happy ending when it comes to the Divas?
We'll get to the Divas in a second. I want to do this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. There's a trophy on the line here, Mike.
A big one.
I'm big into these solid gold 9-foot trophies. We've got 26 out of 30 guys officially announced so far. That means the potential for four surprises. The guys involved, Alberto Del Rio. I'm going to go through all of these. Alberto Del Rio, Biggie Langston, The Big Show, Brodus Clay, Christian, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Drew McIntyre, Goldust, The Great Khali, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston, Mark Henry, Miz, Rey Mysterio, Sheamus, Truth, Santino, Sin Cara, Titus O'Neil, and Zack Ryder. And yes, that was in alphabetical order. Who's going to win this trofeo? Or is it going to be one of the four unannounced participants?
It could very well be.
Will the Ultimate Warrior be in it?
You know what? I still don't think the Ultimate Warrior is going to be in it. If this was a Royal Rumble style rules, absolutely, I would agree with you 100%. From last week, the possibilities, the wacky possibilities of the Warrior in, I just don't think it will be someone like him. If there's going to be a surprise, it'll probably be somebody we haven't seen in a while or something like that. Either that or JTG.
The only problem with the surprise aspect of this, and by the way, there is no JTG so far in this, but he could be a surprise. The problem with the surprise, I actually had a scenario built around Ultimate Warrior coming in his music playing. He eliminates a couple geeks, and then he runs off and eliminates himself. I actually had this scenario in my mind based on the knowledge that Warrior apparently was open to doing a physical match at WrestleMania. The problem is, it ain't a Royal Rumble. It's a Battle Royal. The match is going to start with everybody in the ring. You can only really do one surprise, because I suppose you could do a ring entrance for all 30 guys, and then your big surprise is the number 30 ring entrance, and then bam, the whole thing is off and running. But with a Battle Royal, it's a lot harder to have a surprise than it is in a Royal Rumble.
This is true. This is absolutely true. And it'll be interesting to see if this, since it is on the main show, how they actually pull this off. Does this open the show? I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to go down as far as getting all those dudes in there without ring entrances for all of them. They'll probably just have them all walk out like they do sometimes on Raw when they used to do the blue shirts versus the red shirts battle royals that they used to have where everybody just rolled out at one time. But yeah, I think if there's going to be a surprise, it would be, you know, participants 29 and 30, and they're the ones who get pyro and get a video board and all that. But there's still, to me, I know you said he won the Battle Royal and we talked about this last week, still a possibility that Big Show wins it, just because it's almost, I don't know, it's almost like a WrestleMania Lifetime Achievement Award thing of, you know, hey, Big Show wins the big trophy for the first time, and then come next year, maybe we work an angle or something like that. But I also understand those people that say, you know, it'd be very heel-like to hold a trophy at all times. And you know, you could do it in a way where, even though I would hate this idea, you know, somebody slimes into it where two more deserving people knock themselves out, and then it's somebody like The Miz who wins it, and then he's walking around with the Andre trophy. I would hate something like that, but I could see it possibly happening. But I'm still going with either The Big Show or probably Sheamus, I think, would make the most sense as well. I don't know what the deal is with Biggie Langston or anything like that, but They did, I think, have some plans for Sheamus. Obviously, they were talking about turning him dirty. There was going to be the match with WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. But he's got really nothing going on right now and nothing happening. He was out of the Intercontinental Championship race in two matches this week. So he's going to need something coming after WrestleMania. So I don't think this would be too bad of an idea if he ends up winning the whole thing.
I think that at first I thought it's got to be a heel winning this, because the winner, they claim, is going to be carrying the trophy around all year long. And to me, that's a heel gimmick. You come out every single week with your trophy, even like the chances of this happening are slim. But Damian Sandow winning, you know, Damian Sandow would be a great guy to come out every week with that gold trophy. And he brags about it, and he's just, you know, he's Damian Sandow with a gold trophy. But you could also do the deal where a babyface wins it, and they don't carry it around all year because some heel takes it and breaks it over their head, and you start a feud. But what they could really do, which actually you can't do because Hogan can't do anything physical, but if some diabolical heel won it and then broke the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Trophy over Hulk Hogan's head... That's right up there with Jimmy Snook and the Coconut to me, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Especially if they knock the crucifix off, just like Andre pulled it off his neck before WrestleMania 3.
Yank that thing off? Man, what a little detail that was, you know, decades ago that added so much to it. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we've got three more big matches to talk about, including another multi-person match, which... as somebody noted, is proof there are no big payouts for Mania this year. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today. We're doing a WrestleMania preview. Somehow, I don't even know how, maybe because I read 26 names in as boring a manner as possible, we spent 10 minutes talking the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Mike has kind of got a prediction. I am going to predict the winner of that match is... I don't have a prediction yet.
Titus O'Neil.
I'll make my official prediction next Sunday. I can't even believe that in my mind right now, I'm predicting Damian Sandow as the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I just think him and that trophy, I just think that'd be great for a little while.
It's kind of again, two guys who are more deserving, knocking themselves out of the way, and then he has minions like carry the thing down in a like a massive trophy case down to the ring with him.
I think the trophy in real life is going to be small. I picture him carrying it around like Owen Hart used to carry around the Slammies.
That's hey, remember when Bad News Brown and Bret Hart the Battle Royal that they were going to share, and then Bad News Brown hit the Ghetto Blaster and knocked him out of the ring, and then Bret went crazy and broke the trophy. You think we could have trophy breaking take place that night, which leads into a feud that takes us out of Mania?
I'm still hung up on Sandow winning this trophy. I've got even more ideas now. So what if you could do a deal? Because really, I mean, no one's like I've said, no one's buying WrestleMania for anything anymore. You're getting the network. WrestleMania's on the network. Although, as an aside, there is a lot of talk that next year WrestleMania will not be available on the network. It will be a traditional pay-per-view only.
It shouldn't, by the way. I know
really?
Everyone's going to hate me for that. And as a fan, I love it. But realistically, really, WrestleMania should absolutely not be on the network.
No. That's what I'm saying. Next week, WrestleMania will be pay-per-view only, not on the network.
And it should.
Okay.
And it should. And then you could do more and it will mean more, kind of leading into to WrestleMania.
Well, anyway, my whole deal is that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is just a way to get guys on the show. It's not really all that important a match. It's fun, the idea that you're got 30 guys fighting for this trophy and that sort of thing. But what if you did an idea where, like, you had the Big Show and, like, another big-time main eventer, Rey Mysterio maybe, and Damian Sandow was the final three. And like you said, there's some sort of rigmarole, and somehow Damian Sandow wins, and he gets the trophy. And he carries it around for a year just being as annoying as possible. And then you've got next year, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal for the trophy. And you do the same thing, and you start like a streak with Damian Sandow as the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal every year. Somehow every single year he flukes into winning this trophy. And you could do it for, it doesn't matter, is my whole point. You could do it for several years. And then finally, when there's that guy that actually eliminates Damian Sandow, I think even though he's a geek and he flukes into it every year, by beating the Damian Sandow Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winning streak, I think that'd be a pretty big deal at a WrestleMania down the road, doing some guy's hometown.
That's a much better idea than what I had, which would go for the comedy aspect of this and actually have that really large trophy. And then you have one of the last entrants into it be Hornswoggle. So then Hornswoggle's got to be the one that somehow wins the thing and then carries the trophy down to the ring.
Yeah. There's all sorts of ideas you could do. It's a wacky deal, so who cares is the point I'm trying to make right here.
Prince Devitt.
Keep your important stuff for the main event. You can have a little bit of wackiness on the undercard, and it doesn't completely ruin a show. All right. What else do we have? The Divas. You were very excited to talk about the Divas. There is a Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational. 14 Divas are involved. AJ is the champion. Also involved, Oksana, Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, Cameron, Emma, Eva Marie, Layla, Naomi, Natalia, Nikki Bella, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Tamina Snuka. Now, a Total Divas girl is winning this. They're, believe it or not, you guys think that I'm just going to just bury this match or just move on quickly, but there are actually a lot of different ways they can go with this match. There are many potential finishes. Allow me to explain. Total Divas is filming. So one would argue that one of the Total Divas is going to win this match. I believe originally Naomi was going to win the title from AJ in a singles match at WrestleMania. Naomi then got hurt. She's now back, however. It's become what it's become. one would think that Naomi is still likely to win the women's championship in this multi-person match, correct?
I guess so.
However, you've also been building up this feud with AJ and Tamina. So it could culminate with Tamina beating AJ to win the title at Mania, correct?
This is true.
Also, shortly after WrestleMania, Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan are getting married. And I could tell you that the Total Divas cameras are going to be at WrestleMania and at the wedding. So, and there's no reason not to do this because it doesn't matter. You could have Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella both leave WrestleMania as champions heading into their wedding for the season finale happy ending of Total Divas. That is so far three different people that could potentially win this match in the championship. Mike, who are you picking?
Brie Bella. For
really?
exactly the reason that you just named. Now, I'm not this again. This whole thing continues to then screw over Naomi in that she should probably be the one with the belt. And I think she will actually get the belt later on. But I think it's too perfect a setup in the scenario. And again, because of Total Divas filming and all that sort of stuff, and because Tamina's been a distraction, and because Naomi, a lot of people, you know, obviously that there are fans that, you know, are like watching Naomi and they see how she's been portrayed. So you can tell that she's, you know, in the mix, but people probably wouldn't see Brie necessarily coming as far as, you know, the fans watching Raw. So her winning the title, showing it to Daniel Bryan, he uses his inspiration. He wins and yeah, boom, you have all that stuff set up for Total Divas. I think that's exactly the way I would go. Now, with that said, after WrestleMania, I know they like to debut characters and I know she's not ready yet or anything, but you know, Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Summer Rae together as a team, and the possibility down the line of seeing Charlotte and Naomi matches, which, look, in a perfect world, Charlotte would be in Florida for like two or three more years. You know, she'll be brought up much earlier than that. But the possibility of seeing those matches actually makes me really happy. Also, with that said, too, Summer Rae could be an option for this, too. She really could.
I guess. Why Summer Rae?
Well, for the same reasons you kind of noted with Total Divas and her being, you know, and again, I'll have to see how the season proceeds with her and how she's viewed by some of the other divas and the real wrestlers on the WWE roster. But, you know, just because of who she is, and I can't see her staying with Fandango forever, she's probably could be a star on her own, or at least a Michelle McCool level of star on her own, where, you know, she doesn't really need anybody else around her. She can just be her, and that'll be just fine. Why not? And again, that's one people won't see coming. You know, it'll still get a pop from the crowd, I would assume. So, again, not the worst option in the world.
What about Rosa Mendez?
I don't think she's got a chance.
It's too bad for her.
Jerry Lawler was actually very surprised to hear her name mentioned on Raw.
Hey, I was as well. We've
blonde.
Got
he didn't she's know very she, blonde. Is that a wig or has she actually got the dye job going for that? That's got to be a wig, right?
Probably dyed. I don't know.
That hair is equivalent to Sasha Banks' lips.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on the red lipstick.
And I'll
be here
this,
for hours.
It drives me nuts.
I'll be here for hours, Mike.
I'm sorry. It drives me nuts like it does for you, too. But she should actually change it up to have wacky lipstick every week. Just different colors.
The Shield will be facing Kane and the New Age Outlaws in a 6-man tag team match. What do you think is going to happen here?
Shield wins.
Really?
Very simple. Shield wins. Roman Reigns. And again, you could do a Shield, you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins turning on Roman Reigns. Yeah, you could absolutely do that. But why? I think you can push this thing off till SummerSlam before you have to do anything like that, which would probably be great timing for Roman Reigns, you know, to build him throughout fall and winter, set him up for Royal Rumble, and then shoot him into WrestleMania next year. But as long as they can continue on with the Shield getting cheered and having actually decent merchandise and the whole nine yards, please, I'll take the Shield.
I also think that they should hold this breakup off for a while. have them do their six-man babyface run, and away we go. You could also, I mean, at some point, the Shield's going to have a babyface run. You don't have to do it now. You could go with your plans, break off Roman Reigns. He runs wild. The other two are heels. And then a year or two down the road, they all get back together again for a reunion tour. People would go nuts. Only problem is, the fans so badly want to see them do a babyface run right now, I believe, that if you broke them up, I think that they would boo Roman Reigns. And I don't think they want that right now. So I would give them the babyface run, let the fans get their fun out of their system for a while, and then down the road you can break them up, and you know, obviously Ambrose and Rollins turn on Roman Reigns, beat him down, that whole deal, and then you got a tag team, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins tag team, Roman Reigns singles guy. And away you go. I think SummerSlam is good for that. We have one more match to talk about, everybody. A fatal four-way for the WWE Tag Team titles. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Get Mike's thoughts on anything else. And then we got some news to get into here today. So stick around. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available on the Cable Radio Network and the American Forces Network. A big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. And of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, twice daily audio shows most days of the week. As a subscriber, you get full on-demand access to everything. Every single show we've ever done, available in the archives. It's only $10.99 a month if you sign up for a year. As low as $9.99 a month. Not only do you get all the audio, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter and archives, Figure Four weekly newsletter and archives, and you should make sure tonight, if you're up, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, myself and Vinny are back talking NXT, Ring of Honor, and Total Divas, only at WrestlingObserver.com. There is a Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page, our 24/7 live streaming audio channel, which, by the way, if you have the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, you should search and favorite F4W Live. You can also find us by searching Wrestling Observer. But all of our stuff is up there at TuneIn Radio, so make sure you check that out. You can listen to our live audio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of the live shows and a replay is always available 24/7 of our latest free radio show. So when this show's over, head up there and check it out. F4W Live on TuneIn, F4W Live at WrestlingObserver.com, and later on tonight we will be live with myself and Vinny. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com, number one place for pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news and audio. Mike, the Usos, the Real Americans, Rybacksel, and the Matadores. Who is walking out with the WWE Tag Team titles?
I hope it's the Real Americans, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to break up Cesaro and Jack Swagger. And I'm not saying that that's the wrong thing to do, because Antonio Cesaro is a star on his own, I think is something that could definitely happen. And I think Jack Swagger teaming with a lot of people would be okay. You know, again, I like Jack Swagger a lot more than a lot of people, and I don't think he probably isn't going to go any further than maybe like a tag team title level and occasionally getting a spot in the Elimination Chamber every 3 years or something like that because of longevity. So I don't think it'll kill him to have another partner. Hey, bring in Silas Young. I would love to see Silas Young and Jack Swagger actually as a team. I really
Silas
would.
Young?
I would love that. Just two dudes, men, Texas and Oklahoma. Just
I
you
like
know,
Silas Young. I had no problem with Silas Young, but my God, that came out of nowhere. Silas Young.
Just think of like him and like you bring in Stan Hansen and they're all just lariating the hell out of people one day. I don't know. For some reason, that would make me incredibly happy. But I don't think Cesaro, without having something better than just turning on Jack Swagger, I think you need something for him. So I'm just going to take that out of my mind that they do post-WrestleMania and just say if they don't have something major for him, why not have Cesaro and Swagger win the titles? It's not again, I know Swagger's not the most popular guy in the world, but people react to them. They get We the People chants. It's a good gimmick altogether. And again, if you're not going to do anything great with Cesaro, because I think he doesn't need baby care or anything like that, but he does need to be protected somewhat, as far as I don't think you could do too much comedy with him or anything like that and have people take him seriously as a top guy. So unless you're going to go all out with him and really make it matter, why not have them win the tag titles and then have the Usos Real Americans, which could be good matches for, you know, at least a little while until you get into something else.
My gut tells me the Usos retain. Anything is possible. I don't know if Cesaro and Swagger are going to break up quite yet.
The Los Matadores wins when Carlito comes back also as Matador?
No, that's not happening. Don't even get me started.
Oh, but, by the way, so they're buying the Puerto Rican TV film?
They're what?
Is WWE buying WWC's film library?
I don't know. It's possible. I've not heard. Is there news on that?
No, I don't know. I thought somebody had mentioned something about that or the possibilities if they wondered about it. And I have no idea myself. It would make some sense, I guess, as far as him going in this year, because I don't know why else he would be going in, but.
Well, they need bodies.
I guess, but he's kind of the superfluous guy on there, where if you were going to drop one off that list, I mean, you know, just Paul Bearer and, you know, I don't know who's doing his induction or anything like that, but I mean, you could have did just him and the Ultimate Warrior.
I actually
Warrior
think it's
and,
Undertaker.
See, I don't know. Hey, it's, you know, who am I to say anything about that? I kind of wish they would have asked his son to do it. And then at the end, because I would actually have Paul Blair. I know Ultimate Warrior will probably be this way for TV purposes, but Paul Bearer's son actually, you know, doing the speech and then having Undertaker coming out at the end, maybe with the urn and just bowing. I know as cornball as that sounds and everything, but everybody seems to say that Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, would have no problem last year being used in an angle with CM Punk. He loved the wrestling business that much. I think to do a tribute like that with the Undertaker bowing at the end to close the Hall of Fame would actually be a really cool thing to do. But again, the Undertaker
well,
with a speech
what you
too.
Could do,
who am I to say anything?
You usually have two guys. You have one guy that comes out and they introduce the, one person inducts another person, correct? So like, if I were going to the Hall of Fame, you would come out and you would introduce me, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Paul Bearer is no longer with us. So they could have So Undertaker wouldn't even necessarily do the induction. You have his son come out. His son does a big induction, and then he throws to the stage where, of course, there is no Paul Bearer. Undertaker comes out, and he does his bow. He says nothing, and he brings out the urn the whole nine yards. I mean, you could do it that way. No?
Sorry, dropped the mic there for a minute. No, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. Again, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And however it goes, I mean, it's cool to see him be inducted and everything. And, you know, who am I to say who should induct anyone on there? Actually, it's for Vince McMahon to say, I guess, which is how we got Arnold Schwarzenegger inducting Bruno last year, which I completely forgot about till Raw this Monday.
So that is WrestleMania, everybody. We're going to be in New Orleans, and so we will have a full update on the show next Sunday on this program. Mercedes-Benz Superdome, April 6th. It is a long, long show. It is a four-hour show with a two-hour pre-show. Not making this up. Six straight hour broadcast.
What about the post-show?
And the post-show, that's right. And WWE is going to be doing live programming on the WWE Network throughout the week, as are we at F4WLive.com, at WrestlingObserver.com. So make sure you check that out throughout the week. Now, we got to get in some news here before we wrap it up here today. Did you happen to see Cyborg's Muay Thai fight?
No, I didn't. I heard about it. I was on Twitter at the time, and somebody was saying, oh, yeah, her fight's going to start. And I just kind of blew it off. I didn't think much about it, but I didn't realize that how not proficient she is in Muay Thai and how good the other girl was. So I want to see it because I guess she got knocked down a couple times and didn't look good as a pure Muay Thai fighter.
Now, what about what did you see? We'll start that way. What have you seen over the past week?
I haven't seen. Well, let's see. I saw NXT. I saw main event. which, by the way, I guess, Christian, it should be noted, since he won the match on Monday, for those people who saw the deal with Main Event, where Christian, it may have a concussion, so they had to pull him out of that and redo the match over again, which led to Big E Langston and Dolph Ziggler, where Dolph bounced around and then Big E dropped him with the... I get, they need a new move for Big E. That finishing move,
I like
his,
the big ending.
I've tried to, like, picture, it's like, okay, how does this hurt the guy more than it's hurting Big E? You know, it's one of those moves, and I don't know. He's so physically impressive, and he was a wrestler in high school or in college. I don't know, some massive belly-to-belly overhead suplex or just something else besides that move. I don't think it's the best in the world or anything, but he ended up defeating Dolph Ziggler to hold on for his Intercontinental title.
Any Impact or anything like that?
No, see, I haven't seen Impact yet. It was all screwed up today. They don't have the new one up anyway. The last one they have up on Spike.com is Samoa Joe's rematch, episode number 925 from last week. So I don't know when they're going to post the new one up there, but they like to keep the internet fan waiting, I guess, if they don't have Spike like I do.
What are your thoughts on the Impact that you have seen so far?
I to be honest with you, I just kind of don't even think about it and go through it. It's not good. I mean, for the most part, I do like Gunnar and James Storm. You know, I have liked that. But outside of that, it's the whole Willow. It's just the whole thing is so corny. And I'm not saying that there haven't been some great sight gags. And Rockstar Spud in doses is very amusing to me. And the same thing with Ethan Carter. I mean, he really, you know, you could tell that Derek Bateman or whatever his name was in the WWE system for so long. He is a little bit more refined than some of the other guys on there, but it kills me because I was a big supporter of Magnus, and I'm not saying that he was going to take the company into, you know, a new stratosphere or anything because of all the cost cutting and everything else they've done. You know, it was a good move, I think, to put the belt on him. It was a good thing to have him, you know, be the guy if you're going to chase AJ Styles out and they were going to England on a tour. But how he's been portrayed, and I even blew it off for a little bit, but it's really bad now, and it really sucks because, you know, he's not the greatest thing in the world, but you just look at him and you go, can you imagine if WWE actually cared about him and they tried to groom him in NXT when he's already got the game down as far as running his mouth, and he's pretty good in the ring. You know, if he got some good finishing touches, how good he'd be. And you'd look at how TNA's portraying him, and it's like, oh, God, it kind of sucks. And then the whole, again, the Willow thing is just, there's been some good sight gags and stuff like that. But for the most part, it just all kind of sucks. And it's too bad because, again, I want to like TNA a lot more than I do, and there need to be options and alternatives. But, you know, I get far more enjoyment out of watching Ring of Honor TV than I do of Impact. And again, that sucks.
Well, wait till
actually, it doesn't suck for Ring of Honor because Ring of Honor actually is great to watch. But it's too bad that it's just so bad. And it's on national TV and they have this outlet. And it just, again, it's frankly, you can't. It's not worth watching. Could you actually tell a listener out there listening right now that you would suggest to them, if you have 2 hours to burn, you should be watching Impact right now? Could you really, in all fairness, do that?
Wait, you're asking me?
Yes.
No.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it just, that's the part that really sucks about this.
Wait till you see the Hunt for Willow.
Oh, man. I heard you guys talking about it this week. And again, there's part of me that, again, I like a good sight gag and I like goofiness sometimes in my wrestling and some comic relief and things like that. So I'm sure there's going to be parts of this I like. But again, from how the rest of the show sounded, from continuing this thing with Angelina and Velvet, the whole thing with, Sam Shaw and Sam Shaw, if people will remember it, if this isn't going to be, with Christy Hemme, the worst angle of the year as voted upon in the newsletter, I will be shocked. The only reason it won't be is because people have wanted to put it out of their memory and made it go away.
Wait, you know, the Hunt for Willow actually is significantly better than the Angelina Love Velvet Sky stuff. That stuff is no good.
What about Sean Hemme?
Oh, that's by far the worst. I mean, I can vote for nothing. I mean, I'll vote for that 10 times in the Observer Awards. I want that to sweep the category somehow.
You know who needs to come into TNA?
Hold on, we got to head to a break. We'll get into this when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sirius Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com. What were you saying about TNA before we had to go to the break?
I'm going to say, you know who needs to go into TNA?
Who?
Stan Hansen, Silas Young, and Jack Swagger to just lariat and beat up everybody.
Stan Hansen now. I don't know if Stan Hansen's going to be throwing a lot of lariats anytime soon.
Well, that's people can throw. Look, if you got Swagger and Silas Young around, you can have them throw them into Stan Hansen's lariat. The same way somebody is going to run into Hulk Hogan's fist at WrestleMania.
I'm watching Flo Rida here at WrestleMania 28 or whatever it was. Buff
that
dude.
Was a great dynamic of him and the skinny little guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you think Eminem's performing this year?
I didn't pay attention to that part of it. I will not be shocked. I don't think it'll be like Mary Chapin Carpenter doing Down at the Twist and Shout or anything.
Down at the Twist and Shout?
New Orleans.
I see. Completely over my head. I'm excited for New Orleans because of the haunted walking tour I'm going on.
That sounds awesome. Oh, by the way, do you like coffee? You got to go to Cafe Du Monde. That place rules, too.
Don't like coffee.
Ah, man, you got to get a beignet at least from there then. Blow your diet. You're going to be doing it anyway. Get some fried dough. It's awesome.
Fried dough?
Especially when you're hungover. I'm telling you.
I prefer to live.
Oh, look, then why are you going to New Orleans?
Well, I'm going to live. If I eat that fried bread, I'll die.
Well, it's... I wonder how many people will come close to death there in their experiences. And I mean that in a good way. It's New Orleans, very fun.
It is very fun. And we're going to be there next week, everybody. We will be having our show emanating from New Orleans next week. So get ready. And of course, between now and then, I think I'll have about 10 shows on WrestlingObserver.com. So head over there right now. Check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Check out the live stream tonight. We'll be back live as well, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. A lot of stuff coming up, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Mike, as always. Everybody at Sports Byline, we'll talk to you again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.